Yo, 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 here we go. It's the Great Debate Show with your host, Jarvis Jeffrey Sr., Terrence Smith. We're here in the building, back for another one. It's a beautiful day to be podcasting. Beautiful day here in the lovely Mid-South. Memphis 10, Terrence Smith is over there. How you doing, Terrence?
Man, doing great. I get a Monday without work. That's rare for me.
That's right. Yeah, that's good, man. So you got you a Monday off, and I know you told me you were free all day. I was like, yeah, that's what a vacation does for you, don't it?
I'm telling you, man, it's a big difference.
Right. Okay. Well, we are also live here on Podbean as well. Podbean Live. We hadn't done that in pretty much since the beginning, I believe. Yeah. But we're here. Podbean Live as well. And the Great Debate Show, a lot to get into. We're going to first start off right now immediately. As you can hear, AEW Dynamite in the background. We're going to talk about Dynamite in a moment. But first, before we get to Dynamite, I'm just playing it because I'm not crazy about the SmackDown music. Whatever that was I found last week, I wasn't feeling it. So we're going to roll with this right now. But we're going to start with WWE. Terrence has got some interesting news and a little drama going on in the WWE locker room involving Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Vince McMahon. I don't know. A lot of names, if I'm not mistaken. So fill us in, Terrence, with all of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a situation where they were supposed to have a quote-unquote title exchange Friday on SmackDown. That segment went haywire. Becky Lynch felt disrespected after the segment because Charlotte threw the title down, which, you know, throwing a title down, that's essentially the same as like trashing the company. That's T.O. stepping on the Dallas Cowboys flag,
right?
on their you know, midfield sign, mm-hmm, on the star. Yeah, they got into an altercation backstage. Apparently, they had to be separated. I'm also hearing that one of the female officials, quote unquote, she's also a wrestler, wanted to fight Charlotte. It was just a messy situation where Charlotte essentially trashed everybody involved. I think Charlotte is a little frustrated, but more importantly, I think Charlotte wants out. And I think that there's nothing that they can do that's going to satisfy Charlotte because she wants out. And I think that's the case. I don't think that there's anything they can do to really repair it at this point. And you and I, you know, we had communication because we saw a tweet from her fiance, Andrade
El Idolo.
El Idolo.
Yeah.
Andrade the Idol. And basically saying, and not basically saying, it was saying in plain words, fuck WWE, which, yeah, you know, you and I think we both think that he was writing that in place of his fiance.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's a coward move. If you want out, just say you want out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that this would, at this point, he doesn't need Charlotte. And this is something that, you know, you and I still have to have our Sasha Banks and
Britt Baker
debate, but this, I can tell you now, this is part of my debate.
Right.
That women's division in WWE is loaded, man. They don't need her. They have some of the people that I think would be better if she was gone.
Well, here's the thing that I have to say to that. I mean, I'm not a big fan. You know that as well. I think, yep, she's a phenomenal talent in the ring. I do. I just think that she's no different from the Shawn Michaels stories that I've heard about and that you've also confirmed. She's no different from the Triple H's of the world. And, hell, her dad. You know, anybody that has a problem with putting people over doesn't seem like – seems like she's one of those people as well. So I don't think, you know, she's going to be a team player if she came to AEW. So that's why I really wouldn't want it to happen as an AEW fan. However, I think that she would get a huge pop. Whenever she did debut, it would be a nice, huge buzz for a while. But I think that would burn out at some point. You know, you've got her and her man in the locker room, her and Andrade. You've got Britt Baker and her man and Adam Cole in the same locker room. Who's going to be putting each other over the most? Who's going to be the women's champion? There are two championships, a second one coming for the women's division. But I'm thinking that's for Jade or for Brandy or whatever they're going to do with that. But as far as I think it's good and bad, it's a gift and a curse if she does head to AEW. Now, I know why you would like for her to go ahead and leave. I'm thinking it's for what the same reasons I just mentioned. I think that you're tired of Charlotte, you know, never putting other people over, or it being the flip side is that they just don't want anyone else to have the title other than her.
So I think that's what I was about to say. I'm actually a fan of Charlotte. I think that Charlotte's name was anything but Flair, people would have more respect for her, right? People, I think people look at her like she's entitled, or like she's got a certain privilege because of her last name. And look, they're not wrong. She does.
Of course.
But that does not take away from the work she puts in.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't take away from her talent, her physical gifts, everything that the Nature Boy said he was. Charlotte actually is. I was never impressed by Ric Flair. You know that. I say that all the time. But I'm really impressed by Charlotte and her in ring gifts. Not really a fan of her promos. She talks too damn slow for me. But her in ring gifts, you know, there are very few people that can do what Charlotte does.
Yeah, she's good in the ring now. I can't lie about that. She is.
But now I think and not to argue on her behalf, but there were reports came out that I did tag you in. They were saying that she was upset about the title exchange. She wanted to lose the title to Bianca Belair clean on Raw, which that was a really good match. The ending was stupid. At some point, and this is one thing that Vince has had a problem with. This is one thing that, as far as their booking, this is one thing that's like lingered, and it's really been a big issue, is that he protects people too much. He doesn't like people to lose, for people to lose clean. If he's changing hands in a championship, he will make it a triple threat match so that person doesn't have to lose, like get pinned. And that's not wrestling, right? Like at some point you win and you lose. And he doesn't have to protect main stars all the time. He did it with John Cena for so long. Did it with a lot of people. So, you know, I think that it's okay for Bianca Belair to beat Charlotte on Raw. Sasha Banks did it plenty of times. Yeah. And he protected her so much that it made Sasha Banks look like a number two when she was the number one the whole time. But he just doesn't like for Charlotte to lose. He doesn't like for certain people to lose.
So I was completely wrong here. It's not Charlotte who has a problem with putting people over. It's just the person who's driving the...
There you go. That one's all on Vince to me.
Oh, okay. Well, then if that's the case, then hey... No harm, no foul. Charlotte is more than welcome to come to AEW, in my opinion, if she's going to be a good team player. I just know that when you start putting bad characters into the locker room, bad personalities, these are the type of things that is, you know, it's, the place is going to go haywire. Now,
that's going to happen. Listen, that is going to happen. They are taking in so many people in such a short amount of time. There's going to be a lot of egos, a lot of people coming here thinking that they're going to do this and do that. And everybody can't have a top spot.
Right.
You're gonna have points at some points where I feel like even Red Velvet, when she came out for the save on Dynamite, I was like, damn, Red Velvet is still in this company.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to get her relevance back up to form to what it was, but they messed up and put her against Britt Baker and now they hate her. Even though that's past, it's old now. But they seem to still hate her guts. You know, just because she went up against Britt. Now, I'm going to see if they're going to do the same thing to Anna Jay and Ty Conti out of the Dark Order, because she's already took one out and she's going to take the next one out. Ty Conti, let's be real. But, yeah, I mean, she's just trying to get that flame back. And Tony, one thing about Tony Khan he's got to stop doing is he's got to stop running away from it. Like, when you create that buzz and you get it going, you can't put the fire. You can't let that fire go out. And he done that. He's done that already with... He kind of done it with Andrade, let's be honest. He could have done better, and he's definitely done it with, what's her name?
When I saw the tweet, and I think you retweeted it, and I was like, well, this guy's got a lot to say when his program, he hasn't had a good program since he's been there, and he's only had, what, 3-4 matches maybe?
Yeah, that's about it. I don't think it's been four.
Two
with Pac and one squash match, I believe.
Yeah, he's already had like three different managers. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, they're searching.
I don't think they know what to do with him. They don't have a solid plan for
him. They're digging a little deep, and it looks like they would have passed on him if they knew they would have gotten Bryan Danielson and CM Punk.
Right.
In, shortly after that, they would have passed.
And even on that.
But I like him. I just think that they need to just.
Oh, he's good.
I like where they're going with him. He kind of reminds me of Alberto Del Rio. They just got to do better with him. If you got to bring out a Rolls Royce and let him ride it to the ring, do that. You got to do something to spark his buzz back up. I like the lack of promos that he has and other people speaking for him. I don't have a problem with that as much.
I don't either.
It's just that we don't see it enough, and it's too much with the videos and the backstage, and not enough live interaction with the audience. And you know, I understand why though, because you've only got a 2-hour show and you can't get the entire roster, you know, booked for that night. I get it. I'm sick of not seeing Jade every week. I mean, we see Jade every 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And that has to stop when we've got two shows now, 3 hours of TV time.
Like the best of Pac. When AEW first started, he was one of the top guys.
Who was that now?
Pac.
Oh, yeah, sure was. Sure was.
And he's way down the list now.
Yeah, if it wasn't for him and Andrade, I mean, I don't know what they'd be doing with the two of them. So, yeah, you're right. But a lot of that now for Pac, I wouldn't say they dropped the ball with that COVID hit. He's a foreigner. It was hard for him to stay in the country. And, you know, the same thing for Ashita and what's her name? The first champion, the first women's champion. Can't even think of the little girl's name, man. And we hadn't seen Rio. We hadn't saw Rio in a while. But a lot of that has to do with them being in their country and trying to find the right times and the moments to be able to fly into Jacksonville when they were at the, you know, at the Daily Center for all that time, stuck there. So it was just – that had more to do with the pandemic than anything. But Andrade, yeah, they just dropped the ball. They could have done better. Chavo, it could have worked. Why'd you turn on him? I don't know. They could have let that go on, but they could have just kept it with Vicky, because Lord knows Vicky needs a winner right now, and it damn sure ain't Nyla Rose. So
no, but you know that's another story. Was that they thought they were going to sign Flair, and then everything happened, and they couldn't sign him.
Yeah. Everything that happened from the A&E show, right? Some things from that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, Tony Khan is going to be pretty political when it comes to things like that. I'll give him that. And we know the WWE, they do everything based off politics, no matter what it is, whether they like it or not. That's just what they do. So, but anyway, Charlotte is in some drama right now with the WWE. And do you think she's leaving? Because I heard a contract that was – she's going to have to do some crazy stuff to get fired or, you know, to get released. Because I heard she's good until what, 23, 24?
She's got 3 years left on that thing, man. I think she just resigned like this year or maybe last year. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I do think she wants out, and they may as well just come to terms and try to figure it out some kind of way. Even if they give her a year ND, I don't want them to do that. I hate those, but I understand why they do it. But non-compete, well, non-compete is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that will work, if she's got some kind of a contractual out somewhere. But at the same time, she doesn't want to be there and just figure it out. But she clearly doesn't want to be there, and they're in a good spot where they don't need her. They'll have Bayley coming back soon. Asuka will be back soon. They don't need her.
Well, I hear you, but if it's been Vince the whole time that just always constantly puts her over like he did Cena, then he's not letting her go anywhere. He'll give her all the bells and whistles or whatever he has to do, put a few more cherries on top, whatever he has to do with the whipped cream. She's going to get it all. He's not going to let her go anywhere because it would be too big and too huge for AEW to gain a female like her, a female wrestler like her.
Absolutely.
In her resume. I mean, even though I agree with you, I do kind of believe from what I've seen in some of these matches that they can move on without her. But he's not letting her go. I don't see that, especially if he's got 3-4 years left on the contract. I mean, 3 years, she's not going anywhere. It'll be the same thing it was with Randy Orton. Randy Orton flirted with Tony Khan just because he knew it would get Vince McMahon to throw more bucks at him.
Of course.
And that's what it was. Now, they say Randy really did consider it, but, of course, Vince did what he had to do to keep him. Now, Edge is the one who never really considered it. He already had told someone that, you know, Vince is the one who got him on. He's just too loyal. He would never leave Vince and do him like that. But he did use Tony Khan and AEW to get the contract he wanted. You know, they will do that. You know, so poor Vince on that part. But other than that, what else you got going on with WWE?
I guess everybody's just kind of waiting for a Survivor Series right now. One of the big four pay-per-views of the year. Looks like we might have Big E versus Roman. I think that'll be pretty hot.
Oh wow!
But yeah, other than that, man, it's not really a whole lot going on. Shouts out to Xavier Woods for winning the King of the Ring.
Okay.
Huh. They finally brought that back, and Xavier wanted it. He's been tweeting about it for probably a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And they did the right thing, I think, and put Xavier over with the kingship of the WWE. whatever the hell the King of the Ring means, outside of, you know, nice promos and a scepter and a crown, I don't know what it really means, but
yeah.
shouts out to Xavier on that.
Hey, well, Xavier's been around for quite some time, I believe. So, hey, yeah, you know, man, what? It's about damn time.
He's been around for a minute.
Right.
And this, I don't see Xavier ever being a WWE champion. That's just like sometimes they, you know, you put him in a match, they win and lose it the next night. You know, maybe one of those things to give him his moment. So this might legitimately be Xavier's biggest moment of his career. So shouts out to him.
Yeah, most definitely. No doubt. Now let's get to AEW then, if that's it for WWE, Terrence. We want to talk about Cody for a minute. Him and Malakai Black, Saturday Night Dynamite. They'll be back on Wednesdays this week, but due to NHL, moving to TNT. They've been on Saturday for the past few weeks, and Cody Rhodes versus Malakai Black, it was the trilogy. I like how they done that and how they kept throwing that out there. Everybody's doing trilogies again, so they like to give you that UFC boxing feel. They did the trilogy. Cody got him this time. He still hadn't went heel yet. Some people think he's not. He said that he's not. I don't buy it. And he needs to do it. Why won't Cody? Why does everyone see Cody should be heel? But Cody, I think you have a pretty good explanation once you break down your take on it. But if you could just let the audience know that, and did they get it right with the results of that match between Cody and Malakai Black?
I'll do the match first. I think that Cody had to get his win in at some point. Otherwise, his character loses credibility. If he can't, you know, how do you move on to something else if Malakai Black is still running around and kicking people and getting away with it? So he had to get his win back at some point. I'm surprised that he didn't get it back in the second match, and then Malakai comes back in this match and wins. But I guess they wanted to. It seemed like it was really more of the storyline about getting Cody back his aggressiveness. But I don't care about that, right? Like, I care about him versus Malakai. Right. I didn't really need. Even though we got a good promo from Arn out of it about the Glock and spilling the brains out, which I'm surprised that the FCC allowed that to make TV. but I'm not. I didn't care about it in the long run because it wasn't the most important thing going on for me. I don't care about Cody's little side mental issues. No shade, but I mean by Cody the character, not Cody the person. So I didn't need the whole Arn Anderson coming out and burning his clothes and trying to get him back his edge. I don't care about that. You know.
Yeah, I agree.
So I would have preferred if Malakai was going to go over, for him to go over in the third match as opposed to the first and second matches.
Right.
But the match was good. One spot where he put him at crossroads through a table off the apron. I feel like that should have hurt Cody more than it hurt him. I didn't really like that spot.
It kind of did hurt Cody more than it hurt
I understand AEW. I appreciate what they do, but sometimes I think that you got to think these spots over. Sometimes, Man, just power bomb the man through the damn table and keep moving, you know, or body slam him through it, or you know, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But
the, are you the saying sometimes maybe they overthink it?
I think they overthink it sometimes, and they you know they want that big pop, and I understand doing your finisher through a table, but Cody's finisher is not something that like I want to see going through a table.
Right.
Gotcha. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Gotcha.
But okay. And that spot especially, like to me. If that's the spot, then the match should be getting ready to be over.
Right.
You know? But that's just, I mean, that's just, it's different psychology. Everybody thinks differently. And as far as Cody turning heel or not turning heel, I think that Cody's trying to go mainstream. Cody's trying to, he's trying to be the next guy in the line of Hulk Hogan's and The Rock's and Roddy Piper's and Stone Cold and The Rock, you know? He can't. He feels like he can't turn heel because he wants that mainstream approval, and you really can't do that if you're out there making people dislike you. Because the part of being a heel is literally making somebody dislike you.
Yeah, that's true. Go ahead. Finish.
No, we all appreciate what MJF does, right? Like, but if if MJF was in a movie, I wouldn't care about that movie. I wouldn't.
Right.
I would still watch it, but I wouldn't be, you know, you can't be a household name if you are talking about people's dead parents.
Well, hold up. Was Kane still heel when he did See No Evil?
He was, absolutely. But what else did Kane do after that?
I'm not saying just make
movies like The Miz makes movies. But what I'm saying is like, when you say The Rock, like literally people in Russia and China and everywhere, they know who The Rock is.
Yeah.
They know who Dwayne The Rock Johnson is because he's made literally billions of dollars at this point in movies. Well, his movies have grossed over $1 billion.
Yeah.
John Cena. When I say John Cena, people know who John Cena is because John Cena was in Fast 9 and he was in the Suicide Squad.
That's what they called it, Fast 9?
I think it's Fast 9. I haven't watched it yet, but, you know, I know he was
I haven't watched it since Fast 5.
Yeah, oh, right. Well, don't play too fast. It'll be Fast 10 before you know it.
I know, right? Wow, yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Right. So I think Dakota's point is that he's trying to reach a level of stardom that you really can't reach being a bad guy.
Yeah. It makes sense, though. It does make sense. The only objection I have to that, though, Terrence, is that, damn it, he ain't got to even make anybody hate him as a heel. They already hate him for whatever reason now. They're sick of him.
This is true.
So you just saw me like, damn, what do you do? I mean, right. They're not going to like you until you go heel. Because one thing about AEW fans, they're going to keep stressing it because they expect you to do it. Because one thing I can say about AEW, in the beginning, 2019, 2020, whatever we asked for, we pretty much got. I got to give it to them for that. And that's why we love him so much. And that's why Tony Khan gets the respect he gets. That's why he was promoted wrestling promoter of the year. Because, hell, he's the best booker. He has did a lot. He has been pretty good with that. Some stories go good. Some stories kind of leave you scratching your head. But in the end, in 2 years, he's been more competition to Vince McMahon than Vince could have ever imagined. And with all that being said, I just think that Cody, what other choice do you got? You just don't have any other choice. They don't like you. And, I mean, you can continue to try to come out and get the crowd to pump you up against certain people. Maybe it's just Malachi. Maybe they love him so much. We'll find out. But you got to get out of this Malachi Black stuff first before we can find that out. And
you got to get away from that.
Yeah, so hopefully that's over with. But I still think he should just slug Arn Anderson in the back from behind, beat the shit out of him like Triple H did Flair, go heel, curse everybody out, including the fans. Bring your wife back out, and she can curse everybody else out too. And you can be the authority or something. I mean, I'm telling you, it'll work. You don't really have any other options because they don't like you, Cody.
Right.
They don't like you no more. I mean, it's just, it's official. And he doesn't have to be the baby face of the French of the company or the promotion, Terrence. We've got Hangman. Hangman is back. And he's still over. Believe it or not, I'm even a little shocked because I was like, you know, I told you a month or two ago, I was like, man, I think they're making a big mistake by letting Hangman take the back seat right here. But I understand Punk just showed up. Bryan Danielson just showed up. Adam Cole, I get it. But now he's back. He's still over. We know he's going to be the champion at Full Gear. And we don't need Cody for that. We just don't. We don't need him for that, Cody. Cody, if you're listening, man, TK, if you're listening, don't do it, man. Don't do it. Stop being so stubborn. Make the right choice and go heel. Everybody will love it. Now we'll just have two people to hate, you know, but it'll be different. It still won't be the MJF hate, but it'll still be, you know, some hate. And it'll just be different because he's the boss. He's kind of the boss.
If he's going to do a heel turn, I just hope that it's organic. I hope that it's a well-thought-out, well-planned heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good heel turn, but I just want for it to be meaningful.
Well, yeah, they need to do something, though, Terrence, because they've been playing with us. They played around with us with the Four Horsemen crap, and they didn't bring it back. But they were playing around with it. They were teasing it, seeing where it would go. Cody admitted to that, but they never went further with it. I don't know what they were trying to do, but it looked like at one point Cody would join FTR and Tully and Sean Spears, and they'd run the Four Horsemen, you know. But then they switched it up, and then MJF out of nowhere formed the Pinnacle, and FTR was a part of it. So I don't know what they were doing there, but look, Cody, make the change, man. All right, we're 25 minutes in already, but we wanted to get some wrestling out of the way. Dynamite was a good show. CM Punk showed up to make a save as well. Bobby Fish, I don't like that. Look, I got to say this. I have to say this. I've been hearing, I'm starting to hear it too from other fans. Punk always knew that this would burn out, the flame, the fire would go out at some point with all the cheering and all of that. Now, they're still doing it. However, look, Punk, what are we establishing about yourself? Are you still the same best in the world, or you're not the best in the world? Because you're working your way from the bottom up, and I'm not going to say I don't respect it, but nobody wants to see you in the ring with Bobby Fish. I don't think nobody really wanted to see you in the ring with Matt Sydal. I don't think nobody wanted to see you in the ring against Garcia. Look, man, you supposed to been coming right in facing either Kenny or Hangman or Brian Danielson or I don't know, somebody that's top tier for the AEW World Championship. At some point, we have to see that, or else we're going to have to call it what it is. They're pretty much going to bury CM Punk, and who would have thought that? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I get what he was trying to do. Like, he was trying to come in and help some of the younger guys get over. But, like, to me, Darby Allin didn't need his help, right? Like,
he did not.
Maybe Powerhouse Hobbs. My point is that it's enough of that now.
Yeah, right? I appreciate the Hobbs. I appreciate the Hobbs match. I do.
Right.
But it's
enough of that now, right? Like, first of all, Bobby Fish bothers me. His character bothers me. He does the cutthroat sign too much. And that really irritates me. I like his style in the ring, but his look just bothers me. He just looks like...
Well, he definitely couldn't be WWE material then. They care too much about that look.
they might like his look. I don't know what they... I'm just for me, like, the mustache, the He looks like he is not really in character. I'll say that. He looks like a mean person.
Yeah, he looks like, I don't know, like Robert De Niro, if you know, wrestling in his prime.
He gives me, you remember, like, he looks like a younger, not that he doesn't look like, but he just gives me, like, you remember Tank Abbott?
I do not.
Okay, so Tank Abbott was like one of the first like big UFC fighters. He came over to WCW, and basically he was like just knocking people out. That was his finishing move. He was just knock people out, basically. Bobby Fish gives me like Tank Abbott vibes. He just looks like a younger version of what Tank Abbott was by the time he got to WCW. I don't like the look, but gotcha. I guess I'm not supposed to like it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying that to say that I don't want to see CM Punk with him because there's much better out there. Even if he wants to put some young guys over, there's much better young guys out there for him to work with.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. It is. I agree. I don't know if this is just
Does Brian Cage is out there doing nothing?
Well, they're taking their... see, that's another interesting, but yet very, very, very complicated situation, Terrence, because you know Ricky Starks was in the story with him, but he injured his neck. Yeah, but he injured his neck. Yeah, he got hurt. And so he's making his way back from that, but that's why you hear him in commentary a lot on Rampage. And he started to make his promos and videos in the backstage where he talks about Brian Cage. But they hadn't finished that thing yet, so they've got to get that over with. But it's just they've been trying to stall because of the injury. It was unfortunate.
And I just got to throw a name out there.
Okay.
And I know that right now they have this particular guy in this tournament. And I can say this, and we can go on and get, you know, I know we got to get some football in, too.
Yeah, yes, sir.
But right now, John Moxley is doing nothing.
They have nothing for him, man, because like he's the big time guy. He was a former AEW champion, but at the same time, now that he's not a champion, they have nothing for him. So he's opening all these forbidden doors, which he can't do that anymore either, because that was some breaking news yesterday that Tony Khan and Impact, AEW and Impact have broken off and they've ended their partnership. So there will be no more of that.
Christian lost his title, and I think that's the end of that.
Yeah, it's over with. It's over with for that. But, you know, hey, look, Impact probably does need to end that, because Don Callis was better in freaking AEW than he was in Impact. And
absolutely.
And not only that, I mean, how can you take any of those Impact champions like Moose and these other people serious if there's another young talent too, man. I can't think of his name. He's pretty hot. But you can't take those guys serious if somebody like Kenny Omega and Christian Cage can just come to your company and just, you know, like I talked about with the NFC West, just come to your table and eat your dinner, get full and leave. Can't do that. You know, so, hey, it is what it is, but I think New Japan will still, you know, work with both promotions. You'll still see wrestlers from New Japan on both promotions. I think that this definitely has to help Impact though in the long run, because if you're going to solidify yourself as a top three promotion, even if you're number three, if you ever want to be number two or number one, hopefully, you've got to compete. You can't compete when you're always partnering up, but then losing some of your superstars to AEW. They lost people like Ethan Page, you know, to AEW due to their partnership. So Tony Khan really kind of screwed them with no Vaseline, if you want to be real. He got a lot of good out of it. And Impact has nothing.
That's probably why they ended it, because it was really benefiting AEW and not so much as benefiting Impact.
There you go. There you go. But I'm going to miss Don Callis, though, in those promos, damn it. But I understand.
I want the Good Brothers, though. They were kind of a waste of space to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they did it at the right time, though. Now you know Kenny Omega's going to lose the title, because he's not very good by himself with the mic. He's okay, but people don't think he's that good. But he's a hell of a performer, so what's going to happen is you won't need him to do as many promos once he loses the title.
I always say this, and if me mentioning this guy's name is bothering some people, I apologize. But Kenny Omega is really just blonde Chris Benoit.
Okay. Really?
Blonde Chris Benoit. He's that man is not good. He has his funny moments, don't get me wrong. In the ring, he's the best. Chris Benoit, to me, to a lot of people, not to me, but to a lot of people, he was the best. He was really good.
He was really good in the ring, yep.
But on the microphone, I don't care to hear Omega at all.
Not at all? You think it's that bad?
Yeah, it's bad enough to where I don't care to hear it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I gotta disagree with that, but I will admit Don Callis was much better, no doubt. But well, that's why they brought him in then. Tony Khan saw all of that through then. You're going to be the champion because you deserve to be. But I need somebody to hold you down. We're partnering up with Impact. Hey, Don, you want some TV time? And he got a lot of it. You know, so.
He got a whole lot of it.
That's one of the things that makes Tony brilliant right there. Now, he got over with that one and AEW won that. So, AEW, WWE, just wanted to give you a brief or, you know, a review on that. Now, all right. Yesterday, this past weekend, Sunday, we had some good football action. There's nothing to really talk about with the Thursday night game. Last Thursday, you had the Broncos lose to the Browns.
There is something to talk about?
Okay.
Give me 1 second.
Okay.
I want to say this every week until Strick responds to me.
Okay. What is that?
When my Ravens beat them, they whined and cried all day about my Ravens getting those 4 yards at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't beat any damn body since then.
They've lost about three or four straight now.
Four straight.
Is that right?
You know they lost four straight.
Uh-huh.
But they whine so much about those 4 yards. Damn, can y'all get 4 yards?
Right.
Beat somebody.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have a bad team. And I feel like, you know, it's another situation is unfair to Bridgewater because they're going to look at him and say that, oh, he's not playing at the par, which I don't think he's playing great, but he's not playing bad either.
Right.
And it shouldn't be on him to dig this damn team out of a hole because he's playing when they were 3-0. He was looking, you know, he's playing about the same as he was when they were 3-0, which he did suffer an injury in that Baltimore game. And I don't think it really set him back, but just, you know, just for context. But the defense is not playing well. I watched the last game, but I didn't see much of anything out of Von Miller. And I think that he get hurt. My point is that I didn't think they were a really good team anyway. But at the same time, they complain so much about that, and they clearly have bigger issues to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah, from what he was saying, I think he commented a few things on Facebook the other day saying the offensive coordinator sucks. They don't have a good running game, and they don't have a good rushing defense. Well, you know, that's pretty much a good recipe for losing, for failure.
Yep.
And well, the 3-0 start looks like it was a fluke for them and Carolina. Terrence?
Yep. Clearly. But I will say to Denver, if you guys decide you want to trade Von Miller, we have a purple jersey waiting on him.
Y'all like getting washed up old players, don't you, Terrence?
We kind of do, yeah.
Yeah. Do you really? Now, don't get me wrong. You probably could get him for a ham sandwich almost if he's playing the way you say he's playing now, not what he used to be, we know. But would he really help you all? I mean, are you 3-4 still? No, you are 3-4, though.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, yeah, he probably still helps, though. I know you got Calais Campbell over there still dragging. He's doing his thing somewhat some weeks. And then I know you got do you still got Yannick Ngakoue? No, he left, didn't he?
No, Ngakoue is gone. I think he's with Oakland.
Okay.
Las Vegas.
That's right. That's right.
But we do have a young kid over there. Owe, I think is how he pronounces his name. And mm-hmm. He's going to be pretty good. He reminds me of like, kind of reminds me of like a young Ubanura. So I think he'll be pretty good. But we can still use Vaughn. He ain't got to play the whole game.
Right. Okay, well, hey, Denver Broncos lost another one on Thursday night to the Cleveland Browns. Terrence, you did say that you didn't trust Baker Mayfield, but Baker Mayfield didn't play, and they won. Case Keenum.
And they won.
Yeah, and they won. Case Keenum, we got to remember, though, Case Keenum has – hey, man, it's the same guy who was in the NFC Championship game. Seems like it's been forever, but it was just in 2017. You know, with the Minnesota Vikings, yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
So he can still pull a rabbit out of the hat every now and then when needed. And he definitely done that on Thursday night. He did it without, how long? Did OBJ play? No, I think OBJ. Mm-hmm. He still.
He was out there. He just did not look very good.
Yeah. I mean, look, man. I don't know what to say about Odell Beckham. This man went from a star overnight with one catch to literally doing nothing else in his career. And we don't know if that's half him, half this just the media, half just the league just screwing with him, or we don't know what it is, but we just know that we don't get any thrill or entertainment anymore watching Odell Beckham Jr. And it seems like it's been forever since he's had one of those seasons that we can just say this is the man. And then we had him in the top five conversations for wide receivers maybe in 2015, 2014. We hadn't mentioned it since. He came into the league in 14. If I'm not mistaken, we talked about it after that catch, and we talked about it in 15, maybe even in 16. And then after that boat ride and all of that crap, and then, you know, with Eli Manning, and they went to Lambeau Field and lost their playoff game, it's pretty much been, you know, like over with for him. Wouldn't you agree? It just seems that way. And he's almost a thing of the past.
I think just from what I've seen, some of that is that when Breaker's first year, he couldn't get the ball to him. He would miss him. With him and Breaker's first year together, he would miss him so much. I think he had the injury last year, and then this year, he probably maybe came back too soon. He looks like he's still kind of trying to find himself, not to make excuses for him. But I guess he's got the benefit of playing behind a good run game, so it's not, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, and maybe he'll be better towards the end of the season. But that also was like a messy type game where Case Keenum just had to make a minimum amount of plays, and the Broncos were basically just handing the game away, essentially. They couldn't stop anything. Screen passes, runs.
No.
They couldn't stop anything. What they should have been doing was loading the box up and making Case Keenum beat them on the outside. But they played so conservative and just let Cleveland, without Chubb, run the ball on them.
Yeah. Chubb, I don't know when Chubb's coming back, but he was out again. But still, with no Chubb, with no Baker, the Browns won that game. I don't know if that says how resilient the Cleveland Browns are, or that just says or shows how bad the Denver Broncos really are.
I think it's the latter. That's a game that Cleveland should not have won. That's essentially winning the book with a 10 of club.
Yep, I figured you'd say that, and I got to agree with you on that. I hate it, though, for my man Teddy B. It just seems like he can never find success wherever he goes. It looked like it was going to start off to a good – they got off to a good start, but I knew better. I think Strick even knew better, Terrence, to be honest with you. And, hey, let's be real. The Broncos, they're not out of it because the Kansas City Chiefs are still at the bottom of the division, and we're about to get to that in a minute. But, yeah, the Broncos, hey, it looked like it's going to still be a long season for them. They need a quarterback that can push the ball down the field. Bridgewater was doing that. Now it just seems like the play calling is suspect. The O-line is suspect. And, hell, Courtland Sutton, I really wanted to see what this dude could do because it looked like he can really be a stud in his league. But injuries have nicked him up a lot. And, hey, until he gets a quarterback, let's be real, he's going to be who? Brandon Marshall, you know, for his entire career. He's going to be probably OBJ, who never had that quarterback. And we're going to come back to that conversation of OBJ later at another time on another episode, Terrence, because it's about time to ask, was it OBJ? Was it the league? Whose fault is it? Or was this man just a bust? We're going to have to come back to that at some point because he's doing nothing. Now, again, with all that being said, I would love to hear breaking news that the 49ers traded for OBJ before November 2nd because I think they could use him, you know? But at the same time, there's a lot of things the 49ers could use, and we'll get to that too. You know, shortly here. So, Thursday night, Browns beat the Broncos, and then there was Sunday's games. Terrence, I'll let you just pick what you want to pick. What do you want to start with on these Sunday games? A lot of the schedule was brutal. Everybody pretty much won that should have won, just about, except for a team that I've been telling people to put some respect on called the Cincinnati Bengals. Terrence, I know you're probably not very fond of that right now, but, man, what happened, bro?
Well, like I've been saying all year, Jarvis, my Ravens pass defense is just not good. And in fact, it's bad. I can take it a step further and say that as a Ravens fan, and I've said this on the show before, but this is the worst defense I've seen ever as a Ravens fan. It's just not good. Now, they can kind of mimic and disguise and have good games here or there, and but even some of the games they won, in the Colts game, Carson Wentz had like 400 or 500 yards, his career high.
Oh, yeah. If it wasn't for Lamar really putting his cape on that night, they still lose that game, too, to the Colts.
Lamar has single-handedly won every game except for the Chargers game.
Mm-hmm.
That defense is not good, and they're going to get exposed so much. And Cincinnati with Burrow and they've got the reincarnation of Randy Moss over there and Jamar Chase. It was bound to happen. I'm not surprised at all.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
Okay. Well, Terrence, I'm surprised with your take on this game because I'm gonna tell you the beef I got with you on that. You're not putting respect on the Bengals' name, Terrence. The Bengals are good. They're pretty good. Look, this is just a bump in the road for your Ravens, man. I think you're overreacting. I think the Ravens are fine. I think the Bengals are just good this season. They're actually good.
I do think that it's a situation where there are not many teams that can do what the Bengals did Sunday.
The Bengals play good defense. They play pretty good defense. I mean, look, Lamar's starting to sling that thing now. I'm watching it.
Right.
He's progressing slowly but surely, and Hollywood Brown is doing the same. It's just that they're playing some pretty good D, and I've told people last season that if you learn your gematria, you'll know why Joe Burrow is going to have a Joe Montana-type career. I've been saying it for 2 years. I've been saying it for 1 year on the Great Debate Show. You got to listen, people. You got to listen to me. And he's going to have a Joe Montana-type career. It's got to start somewhere. The Bengals are just good now. Jamar Chase, oh, my God. I said that this dude would be better than Justin Jefferson. And after the year Justin Jefferson had last year as a rookie, you would say, Jarvis, are you crazy? Did you not see what Justin Jefferson did his rookie season? Yeah, I saw it. Now, do you see what Chase is doing? He's putting up Randy Moss-type numbers as a rookie, man. The Bengals are just good.
As a matter of fact, his numbers are better than Randy Moss at this point in his career.
At this point you're right. At this point, you're correct, Terrence. So I say, don't overreact. It's just a small bump in the road. Lamar Jackson will put that cape back on when they play the Bengals again, and they'll split. And this is going to come down to the week 18, you know, on who's going to win the AFC North. But the Bengals are just no joke no more, and it's time we put some respect on them.
Speaking of the Bengals right now, they are the top seed in the AFC.
Wait a minute. How is that possible?
They are the top seed in the AFC.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I thought I was looking at something earlier, and they didn't even have them atop of the AFC North. I think they still had it Baltimore, even though beat you all.
They've got a tiebreak over Baltimore, and that gives them the top in the AFC.
Okay, wow. So there's no one lost team in the AFC anymore? Everybody has two losses. Yeah, I guess you're right.
I think everybody has two losses.
You're right, because the Raiders have two. The Titans have two. The Bills have two now. Yeah, that's you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of the Titans, Terrence, and again, ladies and gentlemen, hey, this is just a fan. He has a podcasting job to do, but at times we can get emotional, and I think Terrence is just overreacting. His Ravens are going to be fine, but the Bengals, we just got to put some respect on their damn names. Same thing J.J. Watt said about his Cardinals. And the Cardinals are 7-0. They're still undefeated. Nothing to talk about there. But let's talk about the Tennessee Titans. Terrence, they knocked out the Buffalo Bills. All right, last Monday night. And then we were like, but they got those damn Chiefs coming up. And the Chiefs are pissed. And they're trying to get back into these. You know, they're trying to get back in the thick of things.
Right.
It is in Nashville. But this is Patrick, my homeboy. You know what? I ain't heard my homeboy in about – sounds like it's been 2 years since I heard that from Shannon Sharp or anybody else. I don't hear my homeboy no more. You know why, Terrence? He ain't playing like my homeboy. He playing get the hell out of here. You know?
Like
you ain't my homie no more.
You're playing like Jake Delhom.
Yeah, there you go. Jake Delhom. Oh, man. You took me back there, man. He played in a hell of a Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, he did.
Look, man, what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs? And then after that, we've got a special guest that's going to come in and tell us what's going on with the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry.
Man, as far as the Chiefs, I think the defense is average, right? Like, I don't think they've ever really had a real deal great defense. But then when you look at the offensive side now, the receivers just aren't getting open. They're not getting open. There's nobody to take the coverage away from Tyreek Hill, and none of the other guys get open. Kelsey gets open every once in a while, but I think the Buccaneers kind of wrote a little bit of a blueprint in the Super Bowl on how to beat them. And Kansas City has not adjusted to that. The line is just okay, but when those receivers don't get open, I mean, they've got to block for 10 seconds to get a receiver open, and it just doesn't work.
Wow.
And you look up and you got Mahomes running for his life, or he's taking a sack, or he's throwing the ball away just in the nick of time.
Yep.
And or he's trying to force it. He's throwing some of the picks this year to where his mom is trying to get a rule changed on picks.
Damn.
I think the Tampa Bucks kind of wrote a blueprint, and like I said, Kansas City has just not recovered from that.
So this Super Bowl hangover is coming from the Buccaneers, you think, putting out a blueprint. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to take the fun out of this, so I'll just let it be at that. However, I just want to say that from what I see the same shit that I saw in the 2019 season. The only damn difference is they throw flags on the Kansas City Chiefs nowadays, and they wasn't doing that in 2019 or in 2020 up until the Super Bowl. Man, look, they set you up. They build you up to let you down. They do this all the time. But we got to go ahead and give it what say what it is. Call a spade, Mahomes is not playing like Mahomes. Is it Sammy Watkins? Are they missing Sammy Watkins that bad? He's in Baltimore now. Pringle is the guy who I hear more than Tyreek Hill at times because they say, screw this. We're taking Tyreek Hill out the game. But are the Chiefs just bad, or do we got to give the Titans some credit here? I mean, when you saw the Bills and then you saw the Chiefs on their schedule and they were 3-2, you didn't think that they were going to win two straight. You probably thought they were going to drop the next two, but they won them. What do you think about the Tennessee Titans?
I think the Titans, which people don't want to admit it, but they have the capability of beating everybody.
Okay.
And I think they've had the capability for probably the last two or three seasons where in any particular game, they can beat you. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be a surprise when they beat you because they can.
Right.
Defense isn't great, but they're solid on defense. Offense is much better this year because, you know, if everybody's healthy, then they can absolutely beat everybody. You know, they lost to the Jets because they didn't have either of their top two receivers. And you showed me another team that's going to win a game without both of their top two receivers.
There you go. Yeah.
So I do think that Tennessee is in a spot to where they allow themselves to become underdog. Kudos to them on that. You know how I feel about that. I don't like getting the praise of the whole league. So they allow themselves to become underdogs, and there's unfortunately surprising people because people forgot that they were already good. Derrick Henry is as good as he's ever been. And you add Julio Jones to that, and, you know,
yeah,
they're great.
Yeah. I think the Titans have just caught a lot of bad breaks on the defensive end with their secondary. Their corners, man, they've had some injuries. They probably sustained more injuries than your Ravens now, Terrence. And Christian Fulton, Caleb Farley. These guys are going down, man, like dominoes. And they need these guys. And no Malcolm Butler anymore. No Adoree Jackson. They're struggling. They're reeling. You know, and Jack Rabbit is pretty much their best or second best corner that they got out there on the field. And at his age, that ain't a good thing. You know,
right.
He can still play, but, you know, hey, man, it's just so many things he can't get away with that he probably could have got away with when he first came into this league. You know,
absolutely.
When Jeff Fisher drafted him back in the day. And now that just seemed like that's been about 15, 20 years now because the league changed so much over that time since he came into the league in like 11 or 12. And so now here we are. It's 2021, right. You can't touch anybody, you can't jam anybody, you can't really do nothing. And so there's times when I see him in good coverages, but then there's a flag, you know, whether it's on him or somebody else, it's like, damn, they can't win for losing. But they still don't break. Like they bend, they give up the yards, but they don't break. And then they dominated Kansas City yesterday. I don't think anybody expected that.
Yeah, who would have thought that would have been a game where Derrick Henry passed for a touchdown and Mahomes did not?
And Mahomes did not throw a touchdown. You're right about that. And Tannehill rushed for a touchdown instead of passing. He did pass for touchdowns as well, too. But yeah, it was just everything that you didn't think it would be. It was the complete opposite.
Yep.
Sounds like a regular Sunday in the National Fixed League to me. But anyway, the Titans win. Tighten up. Speaking of the Titans, we've got a guest here. We want to talk for a moment about the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry because – what we're going to, I wouldn't necessarily say debate it. I mean, we definitely could debate it. But there's just a lot of different other variables we're going to bring into this as far as Derrick Henry. And LeVar is here with us today, and he wants to talk about the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry. And LeVar, I just want to ask you first of all, welcome back to the Great Debate Show. It's been a while. But, man, I think your question is Derrick Henry – a Hall of Fame running back already. But anybody could debate that. But what are we really talking about here? Is he a Hall of Fame running back? Or is he going to break Eric Dickerson's rushing record? Or is he just going to be MVP? Now, a lot of Titan fans think he should be. But we know We know, Terrence, how this league is. If he doesn't break Eric Dickerson's record, he ain't getting no damn MVP. They're going to give it to Tom Brady once again, or Aaron Rodgers once again. It'll go to a damn quarterback. Yep. And I think LeVar feels disrespected, and he thinks Derrick Henry, has been disrespected because he probably ain't going to get it unless he is going to break the record. LeVar, welcome to the Great Debate Show, and tell us about that.
What's up? I'm happy to be here. What's up, Terrence?
What's up, man?
What's going on, man? I just want to say y'all doing a good job here, man. Y'all got me wanting to watch wrestling. I want to watch some wrestling, man. Y'all sound like y'all are real knowledgeable of what y'all talking about, so y'all doing a good job. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate that, man.
But yeah, happy to be here. Always happy to be here to talk about Titans. Because it seems like I'm the only damn person that knows the Tennessee Titans exist, man.
Right. I know.
Hey, but
surrounded by Cowboys, Steelers, and 49ers in the Mid-South here. That's how it goes.
You said something right when you said disrespected.
Yeah.
And you said it right the first time. I am disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
I know I ain't King Henry, but I'm just as disrespected as King Henry is each and every week. I want to throw some numbers at you guys.
Okay.
If that's okay. I won a big numbers guy in high school. But, after I graduated, I became a little bit more knowledgeable of these numbers. And I'm going to throw some numbers at you.
Okay.
First, let's go with, it's been almost 10 years since the NFL running back has been MVP. Almost 10 years. The last time this has happened was in 2012.
Yeah.
That was Adrian Peterson. That was the last time an NFL running back has won MVP. Okay?
Okay. And so, what season was that anyway? Do you know?
That was in 2012.
Wow.
That was after his ACL comeback.
Exactly.
Okay.
Wasn't even his best season to me.
And he almost broke Eric Dick's record. He was only like a few yards shy.
I remember that. You're right.
So he almost got that, and nobody's touched that since.
No.
I know Eric Dickerson is still happy in his seat.
Still popping champagne. Yeah.
But I got news for you, Eric Dickerson. King Henry's coming.
Mm.
He's coming this year. I want to ask you a question, Terrence.
Okay.
When the last time have there been a previous 2,000-yard rusher running back?
Chris Johnson.
Okay, but let me finish. When the last time a 2,000-yard rusher has ran for 2,000 yards consecutively, back-to-back seasons?
Did Barry Sanders do that?
If the guy for the Broncos, what's his name?
Terrell Davis?
If Terrell Davis didn't do it, nobody did it.
Damn it. Nobody has ran for 2,000 yards consecutively. Mm. Back-to-back seasons.
Mm.
Nobody has ever done that. Now, this whole segment that I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to let you guys know. And it hadn't happened yet, but I'm here to tell you. Today, 25th of October, that King Henry is about to shatter some records. Not just one. He's about to shatter a few, and I'll name them for you. All right, so he's on the verge to break carries in a single season. That was set by Larry Johnson in 2006. He had 416. He's on the verge of breaking that record.
Okay.
We just talked about Eric Dickerson's record that was set in 1984.
Damn, Larry Johnson got that many carries?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He had a lot of carries.
That sounds like Eddie George. Okay. Wow.
I'll get to that.
So that's two. All right, the third one is touches. That was said in 1984, also by James Wilder in 1984. He had 492 touches. And then we can go to Chris Johnson, CJ2K. Hey, I love you, man. Man, Tennessee's done good with these running backs, man.
Oh, y'all got the running backs.
I didn't say Jamal Lewis. I said Chris. No disrespect, Terry.
Right, old Jamal.
But Chris Johnson, man.
He rushed for 2,000 yards in the season, too, right?
2,000 yards, didn't get MVP.
No, he did not.
Didn't get MVP.
Of course he did.
And he should have.
Yeah.
Because he set the record for most yards Most scrimmage yards,
mm-hmm.
which correct. Was 2,509 yards.
Phenomenal.
In 2009.
Phenomenal.
So, I just gave you four records.
That was still football then, man, to me.
I just gave you four records
mm-hmm.
that Derrick Henry is on the verge to shattering mm-hmm. all in one, excuse my language.
Go ahead.
In one fucking year.
That's right. Okay.
One fucking year. And the biggest one to me is 2,000 yards back to back. Now, we all know that running backs have only what, 8-10 years?
7 or 8.
Now, yeah, yeah.
And then here's another thing. Everybody's talking about the load that Derrick Henry's getting
mm-hmm.
each year,
mm-hmm.
and they have a good point. But it's all about, and Terrence, you can help me out. But it's all about how you take care of your body.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Derrick Henry is a running back we haven't seen in ages.
Right.
Like since we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, when our parents was watching football,
mm-hmm.
we haven't mm-hmm. seen a running back this caliber in generations. We haven't seen this.
Probably since, well, yeah, because we didn't watch Earl Campbell. We weren't living.
Earl Campbell.
He was the last, probably. He's probably Brown, the last one.
The Walter Paytons. Mm-hmm. The Jim Brown, the O.J. Simpson, right? We haven't seen this. Derrick Henry takes pride in what he does.
And I think you mean like just running people over and just being that running monster.
Running people over to be that physical. That
okay, yeah.
This man is not, this is not a little dude.
No, of course not.
This man is 247, 6'3".
Is that it? Okay, wow. Yeah, that's man, that's still a lot.
And not only that, when you talk about his size,
yeah.
his speed gets underrated.
Yeah.
He has the fastest rushing touchdown this year. I think he was, I forgot how fast he was. I think it was 21 miles per hour.
Mm.
He has the fastest.
Okay.
Derrick Henry, 247, 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen this, man.
That's because most of his out for the season.
Who?
You talking about what, speed?
He was doing it last year. Yeah, I mean, your monster's fast, too. Okay. But Derrick Henry was doing this last year, too.
Yeah, he's the fastest.
I understand.
Okay. Just wanted to put that out
there. Derrick Henry was doing the same thing last year. Same, like, what,
for his
the,
size.
The point,
he's,
that's the
yeah,
point I'm trying to make.
I know. Phenomenal.
Is that his speed.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets overlooked because of his size.
Yeah.
And he's just a freak. You know what I'm saying? He's just so physical.
Yeah.
And it's stiff on him.
Well, I'm going to say it like this real quick, not to cut you off, LeVar. I want to say this real quick, though. Pat Summerall and John Madden were in a game talking, doing commentary. Some of the GOATs, the legends of the game, and ripped the Pat Summerall. And he was talking about Jerry Rice. And Joe Madden said, people always said Jerry Rice was a slow receiver. But the funny thing is, when I see him running those routes and he catches the ball in stride, nobody ever catches him.
That's the same thing with Derrick Henry.
That's exactly what we can use for Derrick Henry.
You don't hardly see too many people.
They don't come from behind and chase him down.
They don't get him. And the point, ultimately, what I'm trying to say is that Derrick Henry is on the verge of touching the ball 504 times.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the verge of rushing for 2,600 yards from scrimmage. And he's on the verge of rushing for 22-19. You can't tell me that ain't MVP. You know, he got fucked last year. He didn't get one vote last year. Not one.
Not one.
Not one. Hmm. Aaron Rodgers got 45 fucking votes.
Mm-hmm.
To Josh Allen. And I can't forget the other people. They only had like maybe 2 or 3 votes.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry rushes for 2,000 yards and gets not one.
Mm.
The disrespect has to stop.
Yeah.
And if this man rushes for 2,000 yards again,
mm-hmm.
now I gotta say that their MVP race is a whole lot challenging this year than it was last year.
Because
Kyler Murray's playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's playing out of his mind. Man, yeah. Tom Brady, just give me what you drink, please. Give me what you drink.
He's drinking HGH. That's a different discussion.
Man, thank you, Terrence. Thank you.
But somebody tell me what the hell Derrick Henry's
drinking.
Lord
have mercy.
Because
right.
Derrick Henry is a beast.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is this.
We can see that with Derrick.
And everybody talks about how much value is one person to a team. Nobody's more valuable. There's not a player in the NFL that's more valuable than Derrick Henry.
That is what MVP means.
Terrence mentioned earlier in the show that he passed for a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's done that before.
He's done it before. Mm-hmm. But the reason why, I'm be honest with you, that was a meme. It was a joke. They were saying that Derrick Henry should get MVP this year because he actually passed for a touchdown. And it seems like those are the only players that can get the MVP.
Yeah, there you go.
Pass for a touchdown. I like that. So he's done that now.
I like that.
So can he get the MVP this year now?
Hi, Terrence.
With a perfect passer rating.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. It is.
But my point is that the reason why he can do this is because everybody's stacking 8-9 in the box.
Yeah. That's why Tannehill gets a lot of rushes in the red zone, right?
You're preparing for Derrick Henry so much that he can even pass for a touchdown. So he holds that much weight on the Tennessee Titans. We're on the verge of doing good things. Our defense was suspect early on in the year, but I gotta say, it's like some of those guys on the defense have been listening to me because Kevin Byard, I was heavy on him.
Yeah, you were really ready. Yeah, I thought you were gonna get the strap on him if you went to Nashville.
Past 2-3 weeks, this man,
he's creating turnovers and
playing ball.
Yeah,
he's playing like his kid, before he got his contract.
Maybe he taught the prime time again.
He's playing now. Yeah, like he's getting turnovers, getting
prime time got on his ass a few years ago.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And I was starting like, damn man, he won. He was right.
Yeah.
He's playing.
He didn't have a dog in him. He said he did.
But I can't say this. I watched all the interviews last week. He said that he really wasn't feeling last season. Last season was a depressed year for him. COVID, a lot of other personal issues that he was going through. He said, he was in it, but he said he really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt that.
Okay.
Because, even though these guys are professional football players, I mean, they're still human too.
That's right.
We all have things that we go through on a daily basis. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I kind of felt that. But it seems like to me he's mentally ready. He's playing good ball now. We finally got some good things out of Bud Dupree. He finally seemed to be 100% ready to go. He was flying all over the field, getting sacks.
Right.
This is what we brought him in to do.
Mm-hmm.
Julio looked good. A.J. Brown looked good. And I want to say about the disrespect to Ryan Tannehill as well. I heard what's the guy's name that loves LeBron James?
Speaks Max. I mean, Max Kellerman?
No.
Shannon Sharp?
No.
We're talking ESPN? Yeah. Oh, damn. Nick Wright.
There you go. He was talking about, yeah, the Tennessee Titans, yeah, so-so. But when it comes to playoff time, I can name a whole lot of quarterbacks that's better than Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you, Nick. Yeah, Ryan Tannehill, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Lamar Jackson. And he's not those model quarterbacks that you he ain't going to be on no cereal box. But
here's the word on him, LeVar. And, Terrence, you can correct me if I'm wrong. This is what I think the word is on him now. After three seasons or the third season out with the Titans as the starting quarterback, is he's a better play-action passer. Like, outside of that, he's just an average Joe. That's the word on him.
I can agree with that.
Can you agree with that, Terrence?
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's what they're saying the word is on him now. Right. I gave him a lot of credit, and he did everything I said he would do. So he exceeded the expectations that people thought. But right. It was everything that I predicted,
every quarterback
back in 2019.
Every quarterback gonna have their strengths. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT when it comes to, against the blitz.
Ad-libbing.
Against the blitz.
Okay.
You can't blitz Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So now the defense has figured out, hey, we don't have to blitz you. Your offensive line is weak. We're gonna rush all four, and we're gonna beat you with your four offensive line, and we're gonna get pressure on you, and we're gonna make you scramble outside the pocket. That's what defense is starting to do now. And that's what we did yesterday. We played two-man, two safeties deep, mm-hmm. and we rushed out four, and we got pressure on them with our front seven.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs are hurting. I saw that. The Chiefs are hurting.
Well, Mahomes is not playing good either. He made a few bad decisions as well.
The reason why Patrick Mahomes is not playing.
We need to get Strick on the show too, Terrence, because Strick said 3 years ago he's really not a franchise quarterback.
It's
the scheme, it's the system, it's the players, the talent. He said, I'm telling you, when they lose that, you're going to see that dude ain't what y'all think he is. Strick said that.
Well, I'm not saying he's right. I'm saying we may need to get him on here if this season keeps going like it is. He may have some point, but what I can say is that I've seen
I told him he was hating. Don't get me wrong. I'm like, dude, I get it. You've got to deal with what I've been dealing with for the past 9-10 years, Russell Wilson.
I've seen Patrick Mahomes
in the division
come to play with his tool belt, and he got more than a hammer in that tool belt. I can say that he got some intent.
No, I like Tannehill. I'm cool with Tannehill.
Not Tannehill. I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, they're Mahomes. But I'm telling you what he's saying though about him. Like, it's starting to look like Strick is right. Like, I'm looking at Mahomes.
I just think the team is not, the team has failed. They don't have.
But it's time for us to say Mahomes is playing bad football. How many turnovers did he have yesterday?
Oh, he's not playing good.
How many turnovers did he have yesterday?
We had like 3 turnovers on him. He threw a pick, and he lost the fumble.
Then he had 2. He had at least 2 turnovers himself.
Right.
He's had a turnover every.
Because he's doing too much.
Go ahead, Terrence.
He had 3.
Go ahead, Terrence.
He had 3, but he didn't have to do too much. He didn't have to do way too much.
I agree.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you think it's just him having to do too much?
The team's not good.
They haven't lost much. What have they lost besides Sammy Watkins?
They got 1 receiver, and that's Kelsey. They're double teaming Kelsey. You take Kelsey where they got nothing.
Well, that's always been the case. But, I mean, they still had Tyreek, Sammy. What happened to dude? Mecole Richmond. I mean, Mecole Hartman.
I ain't seen him.
Where is his fast ass at?
I don't know.
But, see, here's the thing, though, Jarvis. When you take Sammy, you got to put your top cornerback on Sammy, right?
Yeah, because he was the real wide receiver at that time.
There you go.
That is true.
They give Tyreek Hill your second best corner, and everybody moves down a notch.
That's why I was a mistake for Sherman.
And Hartman gets that second corner on the depth chart, he can't get by him.
Right. And that's why I told everybody it was a mistake for Sherman in the Super Bowl for Richard Sherman to play Sammy Watkins one-on-one. Strickhead told me, I'm telling you right now, Jay, Sammy Watkins the best receiver. Don't pay attention to Hill's speed and all of that. He's the true receiver, though. You know, not saying that he's a top 5 or a number 1 receiver, but he's the best they've got as far as a true receiver. Everything else is just schematically designed by Andy Reid, you know? And so, okay, I'll give y'all that. He's just having to do too much, but it's time for us at some point to, you know, call a spade a spade. Mahomes got to play better. If he is the guy we said he is.
Even through all that, he's still not playing with.
Now, hell no, he's not. Because if he's Mahomes, boy, if he's the best thing we've ever seen.
He's playing bad. He's playing bad football.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I'm saying. He's playing bad football because if he's everything we said he was when they were winning and successful, he should still be able to pull one out of his ass every now and then. And they're constantly losing games. They're 3-4, and they've only beaten teams with losing records. All right? You don't get credit for beating the NFC East. Because that's all the hell they done right now. Am I right? They beat the Eagles. They beat the football team. And they've got the Giants coming up next Monday night. But I don't know who the other win is against. But they didn't have a winning record. Because they've lost to all the teams with winning records, like Baltimore, like Tennessee, like the Chargers. At least they had a winning record at the time. I think they still do. So it's like, hey, man, who you done beat? You ain't beat nobody, bro. If you're that good, we've seen Russell Wilson plenty of times with little bit of nothing. Before DK Metcalf, before we knew how good Tyler Lockett would be, still work his magic. So it's just time to start confirming what we're seeing here. And I think that Mahomes might just be a fraud. He may not be who the hell we thought he was. We'll see. But I'm just saying, we've got to acknowledge that.
True.
Continue,
so,
LeVar.
So I just going to, you know, I'm not going to take up too much more of your time, but I just want to end it, you know, like I said, the Tennessee Titans, we're 5-2. We lead the division. We should win this year easily. We're going to show you guys how to beat the Colts next week. On the road.
Good luck with that. It's a sneaky game.
The Colts
are on the verge now. They're on the verge of going a good 3-4 game winning streak.
I got mad respect for the Colts. Okay. We just cannot get rid of the fucking Colts.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about the Colts in a brief moment, too, in a minute.
But I told you, I like their management. Mm-hmm. I like their coach. Because they know what they're doing. So I ain't got no respect for the Colts. But I just think this year we're a better team. And I think that Derrick Henry, man.
He's just on another level.
It's on this.
Hey, LeVar, I got one question for you, man.
Huh?
Well, I got one question, but I have to ask you a question to ask the question. Out of all the Titans players, is Derrick Henry the best player on the Titans?
This year?
Right now, just right now.
Fuck yeah. Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
You see why how effortlessly I answered that?
Hold on. It's a trick question. Why the hell did the Titans underpay him so severely?
Here's the drama. Here's the nostalgia.
Yeah, well, you know.
Four years at $50 million when Christian McCaffrey is making truckloads of money over there is criminal.
And he's never playing.
And he's never on the field.
Yeah, but one thing about – and you're absolutely right. He did get underpaid. I mean, contracts – I can give you a contract – you know what I'm saying, today or tomorrow. But if you exceed that contract, it has to be renegotiated.
At some point, yeah.
That's definitely something that John Robinson needs to do because, yes, he's superseded that contract. Let's go on to something else. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah. That's the least you can do if you're not going
to
get the awards.
That's how we were able to
resign Tannehill.
Tannehill, bring in free agents, Bud Dupree.
Yeah,
Julio. You know, that's how we were able to do those things. That's why I told you. I think we was talking back. I said, look, we got a 3-year window to do this.
Yeah,
we got a 3-year window because you know the meat's running, and I know because it happened back in 2006 where we went bankrupt. You know, Eddie Jordan went to the Cowboys. Stephen Aaron went to Baltimore. Derek Mason went to Baltimore. We lost everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And we still didn't win that Super Bowl.
No, y'all didn't.
But that's what happens when you're trying to run a team. So, yeah, Terrence, you're absolutely right. He does need more money because he's playing lights out. And I don't see that stopping anytime soon. But just to throw some names at you, Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson, Terrell Davis, Sean Alexander, Jim Brown, Emmitt Smith.
Sean Alexander, oh
Marshall
my God.
Falk, O.J. Simpson.
Marshall
Earl
Falk.
Campbell,
man,
Payton.
Marshall Falk, where the hell you go to? I know NFL Network fired you, but damn, they just forgot about you? He was good.
All of those.
He was good. I'm talking about behind the desk. Yeah. He was pretty good on that, too.
But on the field, how were all these guys I just named?
Those are Hall of Famers. Those are legends.
Would you say that again?
They're Hall of Famers.
My point exactly.
Okay.
Derrick Henry, when he wins 2,000, when he gets 2,000 yards this year and breaks all those records I just threw at you when I first started talking.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is definitely a Hall of Famer, first ballot, mm-hmm. or call that. And I'm not saying he's the greatest running back of all time, but damn it. Derrick Henry is doing some shit that hadn't been done in a long time. We hadn't seen a running back rush like this, other than Chubbs, man. Because mm-hmm. I got to give Chubbs his props. But other than Chubbs, there's nobody doing this. Derrick Henry's on another level, and I haven't seen this. And I've been watching football for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't seen anybody rush like this. So, yeah, that's my take on the Tennessee Titans, man. And I said we were going to the Super Bowl, and I'm still saying that it's going to happen.
This year. The Titans are going to the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. We will bring LeVard back if the Titans go to the Super Bowl. And we will be like, hey, man, this dude here is the only person in the world who predicted this, but he got it right. But the only thing is, I guess we'll try to leave out that he says this every year damn near. So anyway, look, they said the Titans are going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to ask you one more question, LeVar, and we're going to move on and get ready to wrap this up. I just want to talk 49ers and Colts, and we're going to end this thing. But hey, man, is Derrick Henry.
Talk about the 49ers.
Is Derrick Henry. Yes, we do. Is Derrick Henry going to win the MVP this season?
Man, that's
now you've already said he's getting to 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
So is he gonna win it? Can he win it just getting 2,000 yards back to back, or does he need to break Eric Dickerson's record?
Well, he's gonna break the record.
Really? He's gonna do it.
Yeah, he's gonna break the record because we got.
That's a guarantee.
It's a guarantee.
Charles Barkley, LeVar Jeffries just gave us a Charles Barkley guarantee. Did you hear that, Terrence?
I heard it.
Okay. What do you think, Terrence? Is he going to break that record? How many yards does he have right now? Somebody find that out.
He has 869.
I'm glad y'all mentioned that because I do need to ask this question, LeVar.
Uh-huh.
Does it matter if he breaks it in 16 games or 17 games?
It doesn't matter because the last time that fucking record was in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
So it took him 16 games to do it. But in this type of game that we're playing now, which is a passing league, if he breaks this in 17 games,
what the hell?
I mean, yeah. Who?
The Dolphins went undefeated, and they won how many games again? 19. Mm-hmm. 17.
Yeah.
19.
19-0. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the Patriots done that.
7.
They went 16-0. Okay, they didn't complete the entire season undefeated, but they did the 16-0. That's better than the Dolphins because the Dolphins didn't have 16 games. It was only 14. Okay? So they beat them on that. They just didn't win the Super Bowl. So because it was 18-1, They still had a better season than the 19-0 team. It's just that they were 19-0. So nobody talked about it.
It's just like Floyd Mayweather. He's undefeated. So it's like that's always going to be better than anybody else that you're talking about. Even though we know he's not the greatest boxer. But he has that record. He has that.
Another discussion for another day. We can debate. We can debate that, though. We definitely can debate that.
And I
know it'll be a pretty good debate because I'm the only one who's going to have old Floyd's back.
Because you know who I am. Oh, like a butterfly.
I already know. But that butterfly lost a lot of fights, though.
Hey, man, watch out now.
I'm just saying. So, look, we're going to have a good debate on that then of another time, another day. But, Terrence, it's been a good show, man. What else you want to say before we get into the next game? LeVar, we appreciate you. Thank you again. Again, you're saying he's going to break the record.
Absolutely.
But you don't know if he's going to get the MVP.
You know, because we don't know how these voters are going to go. But like I said, I'm pretty sure if he's in a vote for Tom Brady, he's not going to get it. And that's crushing.
Yeah, you're about right. He won't get it.
But, yes, he damn sure deserves it. I mean, because my thing is, here, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can make a prop bet right now he won't get it.
What's the point? But I'm going to go out on a limb.
I wonder what the odds are.
I would like to find out, Terrence. We need to find that out because we know better. I mean, and again, if I could give him the trophy, I'd get him. I'd give it to him. You know, he deserves it. I think we can all agree to that, all three of us.
Hey, Terrence, did you watch Love and Basketball?
I did.
Okay, you remember the scene where Q said, "What more do I got to do?" Behind the back, between the legs. So I'm like, Derrick, what does Derrick Henry got to do? He ran for 2,000 last year. He's going to run for 2,000 this year. Damn, what a brother got to do to get MVP? Right. Like, if, you know what I'm saying? Not being quarterback. Like,
I was about to say play quarterback.
I know. So it's crazy, man. but, yeah, Derrick Henry's doing great things. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's going to win MVP.
Man, it has been a long time. It's been a very, very long time.
It would be great. It would be appreciative to see somebody other than a quarterback win it.
It would be great.
I'll say this, and we can move on after this. But out of all the positions in the world, outside of the presidency of the United States, there has not been a more protected position of white supremacy than the quarterback in the NFL.
Wow, you got deep on me, didn't
you? Hey, and I
had to.
And you're not lying.
Absolutely, yeah, I mean,
you got Lamar out there who's changed the position, changing what we think about the position, but every week is something negative.
He was told to be a wide receiver. Remember that?
Or a running back, you know.
Or a running back, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's nothing more protected of white supremacy than the quarterback position or the presidency of the United States. And the quarterback position is damn near more protected.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You're right.
And it also depends on who you are because Tannehill got his ass hit in the head yesterday and nothing got called. So, man, that's the shit I don't like about the NFL, man. It depends on who you are and all that shit. You know, they so protect. I didn't see, like, rookies or quarterbacks that, you know, if you get out for the season, you know, it ain't going to hurt my ratings. So, yeah, you can get hit in the head.
You see quarterbacks that get slapped on the head with the hand. The hand accidentally slaps the helmet and you still get a flag. Depending on who that motherfucking quarterback is. So, this is the reason why I tell you all, the ball is in our court. It's in the fans' court. But if we continue to pour money into that shit, they're going to continue to do the bullshit.
But I got a question for you, John. I'm not trying to take over your show, but I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
What? You know, do you think that if you guys don't make the playoffs this year and you guys don't have a winning record, is it time to look elsewhere when it's about being a coach? Like, when is it time for people to start looking at Shannon?
I'm ready to dive into that. I am. Terrence, do you want to give your take on the 49ers and the Colts game first before I dive into it?
The only thing I'll say about that game is that it was a really messy game with the rain.
It was a sloppy, ugly
game. The famous team won the game. That's all I can say. That was a really messy game.
It was. It was very messy. And when turnovers happened, you didn't know.
I still thought y'all was going to win that game.
Right, right.
I really did.
Well, I knew all along we would lose that game. I knew it. I got a nice little wager, too, for us losing that game. I'm sorry. It is what it is. I don't give a damn. I don't think this shit is real anymore. The hell with anybody who doesn't like it or who thinks whatever, the 49er fans, if y'all don't like it, y'all can kiss my ass, too. You know? I'm just being real. I'm being as honest as I can be, though, Niner fans and any other fans. I'm telling y'all, don't be emotional to this bullshit. You can't be. It's not worth it. Don't waste your time. All right? If you know Gematria, you would have knew the 49ers were going to lose last night. I'm not going to sit up here and give you the numbers because you think I'm crazy any damn way, probably. But look, let's talk about it from a realistic standpoint then, okay? That's what we're doing a great debate show for, right? All right, let's talk like it's real. Ladies and gentlemen, the San Francisco 49ers are terrible right now. I'm just going to call it like it is. And what you just stated, LeVar, a minute ago about Kyle Shanahan and when are we going to start looking at the coaching stuff? Hell, you ain't lying. You're not lying at all. No cap, as they would say in the street these days. No cap. I can tell you this right now. First of all, I'm tired of hearing the Shanahan talk. I'm tired of hearing all of the crap about him being so innovative, such a great offensive play caller, such a great game planner, although you're not hearing that as much this season anymore as the weeks have went by. But look here, you traded up for Trey Lance. That ain't working out just yet, bro. Let's look at some numbers here, all right? Let's look at some numbers, and I hate to do this, but hey, they say men lie and women lie. But LeVar, Terrence, they tell me the numbers don't, right?
That's right.
All right, so let's look at some numbers here, why don't we? Real quick, Kyle Shanahan, bruh, your regular season record is 31-39. All right, that's under 500. 8 games under 500 to be exact. Okay?
And that's with the Super Bowl, isn't
it? I mean, he's only had one great season. It was the 13-3 season in 2019. Outside of that, 31-39. I'm not done. You know what Mike Singletary's record was with the San Francisco 49ers? Mm-hmm. 18-22. Just 4 games under 500. That means Kyle, Mike Singletary has a better head coaching record than your ass right now at this moment in time. That's something to think about. Well, Harbaugh had great seasons. He didn't have a losing season. So that's totally different. And I hate to say this, but a Harbaugh team, well, I don't hate to say it. I liked Harbaugh. A Harbaugh team could have won that game last night, you know? But that's neither here nor there. Shanahan, what I'm trying to say is Mike Singletary has a better coaching record than you right now. That should tell you something because Mike Singletary was terrible. All right, that should tell you something. Also, another thing, Mr. Kyle Shanahan, you are 26 and about 11 with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, that's adding the losses this season as well. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, when that motherfucker Garoppolo ain't playing, bruh, you're a lousy 7-26 without him. All right, if you such a good damn coach, if you so innovative, if you're so smart and such a great game planner, something ain't adding up here. The Niners should still have wins when Garoppolo's playing or not because we've already pretty much confirmed Garoppolo is not an elite quarterback. He's not a top tier. He ain't a second tier. Sometimes he ain't a third tier. Now, I can't say nothing bad about Garoppolo last night. He made good decisions considering the weather and everything. I thought he threw the ball off okay as well. I ain't got really too many bones to pick with Garoppolo from last night. My bones are with the head coach. Kyle Shanahan, if your record is not better than Mike Singletary's, if you have a terrible record without your quarterback, and the only wins you have is when your quarterback is playing, the problem might be you, bruh. So in the end, I just want to say, Jed York, I appreciate you, man, for being quiet. You did everything the fans asked of you after the Chip Kelly debacle. You stayed out the way and shut the hell up. And it worked out for a while. But now, the John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan era, the regime, it's starting to wear a bit thin with some fans. I've heard plenty of fans say Kyle has to do better. All right? Now, I took up for you a lot, Kyle, because I would always tell people, you know why Kyle calls those plays? Because Jimmy can't throw the good throws. He can't throw the same shit Matt Ryan threw. He can't throw the same passes that, hell, Matt Schaub would throw in Houston when he was an OC or whoever else it was in Cleveland when he was an OC. It's just like, dude. And again, he did have Andre Johnson. He had Arian Foster. He had Kirk Cousins. He had RG3 for one good rookie year. which was phenomenal, and he had Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. So why do you, your best seasons as an OC, stat-wise, production-wise, when you've got the talent, you are the shit. And his shit was good enough for Jed York to hire him after Super Bowl 51. So what I'm saying here is this. I blame Shanahan for numerous reasons. I've took enough for him saying that his quarterback can't make all the throws. That's why he calls the game the way he calls the game at times. But if you're good, you're good, and you find a way. Frank Wright is good, and Frank Wright, he actually outcoached Shanahan, and we've been saying this every doggone week, that he has been outcoaching the other. He's been outcoached by other coaches. So basically, I'm saying all of that. I'm saying all of that to say this. In the end, Shanahan, how about you stop doing the Chip Kelly plan, the Chip Kelly movement, to where you think that you can just hire, I mean, you think that you don't have to hire an OC, and you think that you can just draft people that fit the so-called system, and you'll be fine. No, 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 no. It's not okay. They don't work like that. Just go ahead and draft Justin Jefferson, and you ain't got to complain a bitch about Brandon Ayuk being what we thought he would be. You shouldn't have drafted Brandon Ayuk. Draft Justin Jefferson. He was available. Draft CeeDee Lamb. The motherfucker was available. You dropped the ball, Kyle. Same thing you did with Dante Pettis a few years back. And you traded DeForest Buckner. So I was kind of smiling to see DeForest Buckner eat the offensive lineup last night. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. I don't think none of it's real. But from a realistic standpoint, DeForest Buckner's trade to Indianapolis was the straw that broke the camel's back. I told everybody in 2019, and I'm finna wrap it up, the only reason why the Niners went to the Super Bowl is because they doubled down on the D-line that offseason by trading for Dee Ford and still drafting Nick Bosa. But the difference then was that I can't double team a bunch of bookend pass rushers when I got this beast of a man in the interior line called DeForest Buckner. I gotta double him. You seen those plays when Carson Wentz kept stepping up in the pocket, making those bombs? He couldn't have did that if 99 was still there. That's going to be the downfall of the Lynch and Shanahan regime if it happens. I'm not trying to overreact. I'm not saying the Niners won't still come back and go 12-5. I ain't saying that shit. But damn it, they got a lot of work to do because they're already 2-4. And I think a lot of that starts with the trade that they had last season. The D-line is what did it for us. The game is to be won in the trenches. The Niners were great in 2019 because they could physically beat the shit out of you on the D-line and the O-line as well. They're not that anymore. Javon Kinlaw didn't even play last night. When he does play, he's not Buckner. Same thing goes for, you know, other positions that we chose to, you know, just reload or whatever you want to call it, you know, when it really looks like it's still a rebuild.
But, Terrence, I got something for you. And you can have me out to tell me what you think. But I know, Jarvis, you're talking about, you know, the coaching, but and then GM as well. But I think the biggest thing that I see with the 49ers, for me, is that they can't get it right with the quarterback. And I think that's why Kyle Shanahan is struggling a lot, because he can't get the quarterback right. And I got to put a lot of blame on John Lynch. And Terrence, you help me out. But this is what I think. It looks to me as if Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Trey Lance is not somebody.
Now, again, he's only played one game.
I was rooting for him.
Mm-hmm.
But after watching him, Trey Lance don't seem like a quarterback that can just come right in and just start playing immediately. He needs about 3 years on the bench.
3 years? If he needs 3 years on the bench, we made a mistake.
I mean, that's the point I'm trying to get at. All right, so Terrence, hear me out.
A terrible mistake, all the draft picks we gave
him. He don't. After looking at him and evaluating him, and then, you know, like Skip Bayless say, the eye test, he don't seem like somebody can just start immediately. He needs to chill out on the bench for a minute and just watch.
Well, that's the plan. I think that's the reason why they didn't let go of Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's why they ate that $25 million salary.
But they did draft him.
That I don't agree with them doing, but they did.
But they did draft him.
Yeah, they did.
Trey Lance.
They did.
All right, Terrence. So
they gave up a lot to do it, too.
I think the 49ers made a mistake. I see a guy in New England playing hella good, and he ain't Tom Brady. His name is Matt Jones. He was on the board for the 49ers, and a lot of people thought that the 49ers was going in that direction. You helped me out, but the eye test that I see with Matt Jones, and I don't know how much of Matt Jones you've been watching this year, but damn it, he looks good. He looks smart. He looks intelligent. He's poised. He knows how to read defenses, and he makes some damn good throws. I think Matt Jones, it should have been y'all pick for the San Francisco 49ers. And I know we didn't know that then, but looking at it now, Matt Jones looks – if you had Matt Jones, y'all wouldn't be the record that y'all are now. What you think, Terrence?
Well, I think that no matter who they pick, they should have cut Garoppolo. For what Garoppolo is doing, you could have went out and signed some veteran for half of what you're paying Garoppolo. And you would have saved a whole lot more money, and you know, who knows what kind of other additions you would have made just by saving that money.
Yep. $25 million, man. It's $25 million.
$25 million.
You could have signed a lot of motherfuckers with $25 million.
Yeah, and they would have saved like $12 million, I think, on the cap by cutting.
I thought they was gonna get Tom Brady last year and cut Jimmy G, and that's why Tom Brady was like, really?
Now maybe they had plans on the Deshaun Watson trade, we don't know, and then of course all that shit went haywire.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Garoppolo should have been cut. I hate to keep doing this, but black quarterbacks don't get the leverage that Garoppolo has got. They just don't.
No, of course not.
And Garoppolo's skin just been a little bit darker, he would have been a free agent.
The sad truth, but that's right, Terrence. It is what it is. Anybody don't like it, hey, that shit. It is what it is. You ain't got to listen to the Great Debate Show. Look, that's what it is, Terrence. Well said.
Hey. If you don't know that, you haven't been watching football. It's just that.
That's right. You've been under a rock or something. But,
right, there you go.
But I do got to say this. It's Monday, and I think it's Overreaction Monday. I already pointed out Terrence, my co-host, who I think is overreacting with his team after a bad loss.
No, our defense is terrible.
You think your defense is terrible with Marlon Humphrey still out there?
The passing defense is terrible.
Marlon Humphrey is still – he's still an ace, right? And
he gave up the game winning touchdown against Las Vegas. That pass defense is not good.
Okay.
I don't think it's the players. I think it's a lot of scheme, and then we did lose Peters, but you know, one player shouldn't make a defense.
I agree. But you gotta understand though, hey man, it's a reason why y'all made the trade for Peters. You needed him. You know,
yeah,
so
we needed him.
This is what happens. I mean, we don't have Sherman anymore. We lost Jason Verrett. I don't think Sherman is the loss. Maybe his knowledge. But what we're struggling at is Jason Verrett balled out last season. He finally made it through a whole season for the first time since 2015, his rookie season. And in week one, week two, he tears his damn Achilles. He's done again. I think him and Mosley would have been great on the outside this season, which would have really helped the pass rush. But the pass rush, what is Bosa doing? Let's be honest. What is Nick Bosa doing now without Buckner? Exactly. Everybody was like, Jarvis, you're tripping. Now, I'm not saying the guy that I wanted is lightening up, because I don't hear anything about dude. What is dude doing from Alabama? Quinnen Williams, who got drafted by the Jets. I thought pairing him next to Buckner would have been like, oh, my God, unbelievable. But that didn't happen. That's why they gave up 54 points yesterday.
The Jets defense is not lagging.
That's why they gave up 50-some points yesterday. That's why I say it's Overreaction Monday, because I think you're overreacting with Mac Jones. Mac Jones.
No, I've seen him a few games. He's pretty good.
Well, I think he's NFL ready, LeVar, but I think you're still seeing him at his highest ceiling.
I wasn't even talking about that game.
Trey Lance has not even bumped his head on the ceiling.
He played good against Dallas. He's pretty good.
Okay. Well, he is the most NFL ready, they said, but he still has a higher. I mean, like, he's already reached his ceiling pretty much. So this may be still the best you'll get from him with no more progression. But Trey Lance has plenty of room for progression. I'm not saying he can do it.
He's very athletic. I like him. But, as far as his throws.
The accuracy, the ball placement is there.
That's not there yet. That's why I said I feel like he can't just come in immediately.
Terrence, is LeVar overreacting with this Mac Jones shit?
I just think that he's a little higher on it than I am. Like, I like Mac Jones, but I'm not here to anoint him as the next great Patriot quarterback. But.
Right. Well, I mean, the reason why
for it to be his first year, he's playing really well.
Okay. I'll take that. And that's okay. He's playing well, LeVar. I just think that, we're looking at this.
And some quarterbacks just have it. We saw that with Herbert last year. But, like, that was just his rookie year. And I look at him this year.
Herbert's still balling ball. Somewhere.
So yeah. Sometimes yeah. you just
and,
got.
I mean, and even in the game against Tampa, Mac Jones led them down the field, which should have been a game-winning score.
Right. Yeah. You're right about that. Okay, so we look, Mac Jones may be that guy. He may be. I just think it's too soon to say that just because we passed on him and Trey Lance is struggling. It's just one game. Right. Trey Lance has only played one game. And, you know, look, this is the drama that I told you was going to go on in the Bay Area this season. You know, every week now after a game, they're asking Kyle Shanahan, who's playing next week? You going back to Trey? You know, I mean, what are we going to do here? We're going to switch quarterbacks every Sunday? And look, man, it's a laughing stock.
Like
it's embarrassing.
Like Jamie Foxx said, you got two nickels. You know,
yeah.
You know,
well, the only thing that's saving Shanahan right now, as far as not being on the hot seat and whatnot, is because he didn't go to Trey Lance out of desperation. At least that's what they want you to think. Garoppolo supposedly had a calf strain. We know that's bullshit, but you see how quick he came back after Trey Lance didn't look as good? It's all smoke. That's all it is. But Shanahan gets a pass because it doesn't look like he said, Garoppolo, you're out. Yeah. Trey Lance, you're in.
Yeah,
Trey has a bad game. All right, Trey, you're out.
I believe he wanted to give the job to Trey Lance. He wanted to see what he can do. But
of course he did.
If he's not winning the games, then he has to go.
Yeah, he definitely not ready. I think that's the reason why they kept Jimmy, though, because they knew he needed a year, like Patrick Mahomes did behind Alex Smith. And it helped. It worked out wonderfully. Now, again, Andy Reid, though, was the guy that Patrick Mahomes was starting under. And, you know, we got to put a lot of respect on Andy Reid's name, even though it took him a long time to get a chip. He has one, you know. And he got that motherfucker against Kyle Shanahan. And I don't know if Shanahan can get back, though, with this team, with what he's done now. He put all of his insurance, the mortgage, he put the light bill money, the gas bill money. He put everything on Trey Lance with all the picks he gave up to get him.
Yeah.
He has to be the answer. If he's not the answer, he's fired. Point blank.
That's my point.
It's just that how long is it going to take before we see he's not the answer.
I think Shanahan will get one more year, honestly.
Well, he has probably because, I mean, he just got extended.
I think you have to give him that.
He just got extended, you know?
Right.
He just got extended. But if this season turns into
what happened to y'all running game?
2-15, Mostert went down week one.
Okay.
Mostert went down week one.
Ayuk came, like, what's up?
Who?
Ayuk
is a receiver.
I know.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm like.
Well, you told me this guy was a good pick, I told you I don't know him.
He was in Arizona State.
Yeah.
I mean, the film is there. You know, it was him, and he was. So I really can't, you know, pinpoint what's going on with that. But you would think that there would be more. The offense would be more fluid than what I'm seeing. You get Debo. Got 11 catches. Debo got 11 catches. And then that's it. Who else you got? So, I really think when
Kittle was out as well, too.
And that just lets you know how valuable Kittle is, you know.
Yeah, very valuable. But it also shows the lack of, you know, how great is Kyle Shanahan really, you know. And I think it's time we start pointing that out and talking about it here. It is what it is. He can't win a lot of games without Garoppolo. We see that. I just gave you the numbers. And he can't win a lot of games without Kittle. And Kittle was on the 3-week IR right now. We don't win without Kittle. And that's why I tell people Kittle is the best tight end in the game. Hell, if the Chiefs can't win a game without Travis Kelce, okay, he's the best too. But damn it, I think that Kittle does a little bit of everything. And Kelce is just more of a, hey, I catch the ball, you know. But when it comes to blocking, getting everybody open, chip blocks, picks, whatever it may be, the yak. Oh, my God, the yak. And then they sleep on Kittle's speed as well. He ain't no slow tight end. You know, I got to give him that, too. The injuries always, for the second year in a row, is playing a factor. It's not as bad as 2020, but it's still just as bad. Garoppolo's already missed a game or two. Mostert's done for the season. Hey, man, you know, look, Debo has missed a game already this season. Kittle has missed some games. He's on IR. And, hell, the corners are down. All of the corners, pretty much. We just got one of them back. But the D-line, you know, look, Kinlaw's not playing every week. There's nobody in the middle like Buckner. So you can double Bosa or Ford. Ford's not playing all the snaps he needs to play. I'm sick of hearing about his damn injuries. Why you keep letting him come back? He's tucking 2 or 3 pay cuts, but he's still there. And he's just not productive. They're not doing what they did in 2019 because Buckner is gone. But 49er fans just have to understand that he's gone for a reason. And I'm sorry, that's just the way it goes. It's not meant for the Niners to be successful or win. When the San Francisco Giants made the playoffs, I knew then it was a wrap for the 49ers this season. But that's just the way they do, you know? Unless it's going to be one of those L.A. Laker, L.A. Dodgers type of seasons in that big major city, the Niners are toast. It looks like they're probably toast this year. I hope I'm wrong. Of course I do, because why wouldn't I still love to talk shit? You know, hey, why not? You know, you're gonna criticize me either way it goes. Whether I say, hey, I'm happy we won, even though it ain't real, and I will say that. But at the same time, I will say, hey, man, the good thing is we lost. But who cares? Because none of this stuff is really real, and that's the good part about it. Don't get emotional.
So one last thing for me, Terrence. Tennessee Titans 5-2. Baltimore, you guys were 5-2 as well.
I think so, yes.
Okay, so who do you guys got? Who's the best team in the AFC? Who do you guys see the best team in the NFC right now? I'll go with you, Terrence. Who's the best team in the AFC?
Man, best team in the AFC, that's a rough one because, like I said earlier, Tennessee can beat anybody. I want to play safe here, and I want to play Cincinnati. They have the best record in the AFC.
And that's the reason why it's hard to count the Chiefs out when if it's that hard for you to pinpoint who's the best in the AFC, the Chiefs still in this thing, then.
Right.
Wouldn't y'all agree?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they're definitely still in it.
Okay. I'm just saying from what y'all are telling me, yeah. if you got to dig deep.
I'm not digging deep. I beg to differ. I don't think that the Chiefs are at the bottom. The Oakland Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders.
I've done it so many times. Don't feel bad.
They lead that division. And they look good. And Baltimore looks good. Buffalo looks good. Shit. I will put New England over the Chiefs right now. So I'm going to be a little biased, and I'm going to say the Tennessee Titans. But I'm only going to say the Tennessee Titans because of Derrick Henry. And I just, you know, that's just like LeBron James. You know, you have the most valuable player on your team. And I just think that Derrick Henry is going to carry the load, and he's going to put the team on his back because that's what MVP players do. So,
LeVar, I'm going to argue with you a little bit. What you think Derrick Henry is, I think Lamar Jackson is. Because no matter the situation of the game, look, if the Titans get down by 3 touchdowns, Derrick Henry is not that much of a factor, right?
True.
No matter what the score is in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson is touching the ball. So what you think Derrick Henry is, I think Lamar is, in the sense that, just like LeBron, he's always going to have a ball in his hand.
Right.
And the threat of him doing something on every play is always a threat. Right. With Derrick Henry, if it's 3rd and 7, he's probably on the sideline because you got to bring in a third down back.
Right. Hey, you got a valid point. Yeah, very, very, very valid. Yeah, Lamar Jackson, man, yeah. So – I can definitely agree with you on that aspect. I really can. Baltimore, hey, they doing their thing, man. They still finding ways to win. I was told that John Harbaugh is overrated, and I beg to differ, though. You know what I'm saying? He came a long way from being a special team coach. I can
absolutely
say that.
A whole long way.
Yeah. Now, I can't say Lamar Jackson saved his job, but he still.
No, that did happen. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Lamar didn't save his job.
But as far as coaching, he can coach a football game. I like Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel can coach. He's not the best play caller. You know, if he has to call defensive plays, we're fucked. But as far as managing the game, time management, and making right decisions, I go with Mike Vrabel all day long. So, you know, we know what our coaches can do and what their strengths and weaknesses are. But who do you got on the NFC, though? Who do you think is the best team in the NFC?
I'm still going to roll with Tampa. I know that Arizona's undefeated. But on this one, I've seen so much of Tampa that I know that if they play their best game, I don't think anybody else can beat them.
And you know what? You're probably right. When we're talking the playoffs and Super Bowl, I'm gonna go with Tom Brady all day long. When you're talking longevity, the course of a season, but just as of 7 games in, 8 games in, The Arizona Cardinals is the most complete team on film. Yeah. I'm talking about these guys can play defense. Look, when I tell you they gave us a backyard, Joe Jackson ass whooping. Like, they whooped our ass.
It was week one, though.
It was week one. But damn it, that defense is good.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt has been drinking that juice, the Tom Brady drinks. Like, the man is playing like he's 25 years old, man. Him and what's the other guy on the
He hadn't did as good was since Chandler Jones was out on the COVID list. But Chandler Jones will be back Thursday night.
And that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, you put both of them on the field, man.
Yeah. Well,
and Kyler Murray. I told Jarvis, man, before that man got drafted, I said, man, you need to watch out for this guy right here. Kyler Murray.
Why do you think I kept bitching and complaining when I was like, hey, man, the Cardinals don't want Nick Bosa?
Yeah, I told you about Kingsbury.
That's why I kept saying, man, the Cardinals don't want Nick Bosa, because I would have rather them went with Nick Bosa than Kyler Murray. I knew what was going on.
So I'm
going
to go with the Cardinals as of right now because they're undefeated. And not only
that. I was telling Niner fans we need to get Brady because I knew what was going on. But we didn't get him, and yeah, y'all see what's going on. So, hey, man, all you Jimmy G lovers, I hope y'all enjoying this shit. This is what you wanted. Okay.
And you know what? I was wrong with that, too. I said, you know, when I saw that Saint game y'all played, y'all Super Bowl year,
yeah.
I said,
nah, we had a great time that weekend.
Jimmy G is he's y'all guy.
Yeah. And look, man, look, you were wrong, and I appreciate you admitting that, like a lot of people can't do. But, dude, I was there, too. It was just, oh, my God. It was just amazing. It was thrilling. It was packed, jam-packed. The noise, the atmosphere was just crazy. And Jimmy Steele, through all of that, him, the big play to Kittle, Emmanuel Sanders, man, they did their thing. Kendrick Bourne might have had two touchdowns in that game as well. I mean, he won a shootout against Breeze.
I mean,
so you have every right to believe that, hey, man, I think y'all, yeah.
I was convinced. And then the Super Bowl happened.
And then the Super Bowl happened later that season.
And then the shit just started falling down.
Right, right.
Jimmy G, I see why Bill Belichick let this man go, this man. Yeah, so,
yeah.
The rest is history. Everybody got Jimmy G's number.
Right, right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great show. I know a little too long, but, man, we had so much to cover from wrestling, AEW, Charlotte Flair, and WWE. She's not happy with them. So we wanted to talk about that. Derrick Henry, you know, is he already a Hall of Fame running back? That is a very, very bold question, statement, or whatever you want to call it to make. But LeVar was here today, ladies and gentlemen, to show us that he may not be that far off from that statement that he made. And he is a beast, and he is doing some things that we have not seen in our time, in our era. He's right about that. And we also wanted to talk about the recap of Week 7 in the NFL, and we've done that as well. Terrence, is there anything else you got? I mean, we were supposed to talk about Kyrie as well. He got some support from some fans, but we just went too long. We can come back at another time later this week, Terrence. Maybe we can get some.
We'll talk about Kyrie because I have a feeling he's going to cave at some point.
You think he's going to cave in at some point?
Yeah, he ain't got no other choice.
Yeah, he might not.
He ain't got no other choice, man. It never fails, man. We seen this with Nick Cannon. He ain't got no other choice.
I know, right?
He's going to bow down at some point. But I respect him, and I love what he's doing. But you know, when you play for an organization and a business, man, that's just what it is. At the end of the day, you're going to have to bow down.
And that's what people have to understand. It is a damn business. It's not them just playing games. People have to understand that. The NFL, and people can look this up, too, if they want to check me on that, they are labeled as an entertainment business.
NBA ain't got shit to do with that. That's the state of New York. I'm going to let y'all deal with that. Idea like that.
Who said that?
The commissioner.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, but in the end, like, it's like, hey, The NFL is, I mean, the NBA with Kyrie and everything, he probably is going to have to cave. But look, it's like the NFL is really an organization, like an entertainment organization. It's really listed as that. People have to understand that and understand what that means. You know, I'll leave that there. But let it marinate. Please. It's a reason. It's a reason for it. But, yeah, we'll get to Kyrie at another time because we also have to talk about what's going to happen on Monday Night Raw, which is really just getting started. NXT tomorrow night on Tuesday and Dynamite on Wednesday. So we'll probably come back on Thursday-ish maybe, and do some talking about that as well.
Game coming up Thursday, man.
Yeah, and that's another reason why we need to come back to talk about Thursday night's game.
Yes, sir.
Well, it looked like it was going to be a big game, but the NFL did what they always do. They take the fun out of it. It's supposed to have been the Cardinals and Packers, 7-0 Cardinals against the 6-1 Packers. But Terrence, I'm sure you know the news. Davante Adams just got put on the COVID list today.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh. You know to me.
And some more
He will be out. He will be out, Terrence.
Some more breaking news. Terrence, you probably know about this. He brought you guys a Super Bowl. Flacco. He's got a job.
With who?
He went to the NFC East.
Philly?
Let me
Washington.
My numbers.
Well, now Heineke been playing all right though, so they probably
the, is it though? Is it the AFC East? Mm. Oh yeah, the Jets. They just traded for Flacco. Wilson got hurt.
Oh, Zach Wilson's hurt.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So they
okay.
Well, he went back to an old team, so I mean that's understandable.
Yeah. He was with them last year, wasn't he? For a minute, I believe.
With the
Jets? Yeah, I think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Jets season are doomed. They're doomed anyway.
Yeah, the Jets are cursed, man. I don't know what they're cursed with, but they're cursed for something.
Yeah, they are. Robert Saleh. Hey,
no point in running their Jermondre number. That shit's coming back to zero.
The Jets are just bad, huh?
Hey, man, it's just so bad I don't want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, Robert Saleh, these are well, that's for real, spitting another time. But these are the rituals, the blessings that they receive when they get these head coaching jobs. It doesn't matter if they do good at them or not. We know he's not going to do good at it. But they made him look good enough to get a head coaching job. And now look what they did when D'Amico Ryans took over for D.C. for the 49ers. They got D'Amico Ryans looking like a straight dumbass sometimes.
So how many years does he get? Salah.
Huh. Oh, meaning head coaching?
Yeah.
With the Jets? I mean, Adam Gase had about three or four. Well, no, maybe three.
You probably had more than that. Probably.
No, I don't think it was much longer than three. It might have been four. I'm not sure. Either way, it was a little too long. But, you know, hey, man, Saleh is he's not them, but he ain't us either. So I don't know how they wanted to – I don't know how they'll determine that. But I know. We'll see how it goes. But, hey, the Jets are the Jets, and if they're going to continue to be the Jets, he won't be there long. I think we know that. Rex Ryan, if you're out there, man, won't you just swallow your pride and take a defensive coordinator job? You know, we could use you, or somebody could use you. You're just not a head coach anymore. But you know, they got D'Amico Ryan not looking too good. He always playing man coverage and things, even when they're getting burned. And you just see how many times Wentz could just lob it up there in the corner, would do something stupid to give them the flag, and they'd have the ball on the 1 yard line or something. Like, okay, D'Amico, are we gonna switch it up? We're gonna do anything? This is just how they do, man. This is how they do. So, a lot of different things, a lot of changes. San Francisco 49ers, Baltimore Ravens. Both of us took a beating. Terrence really took a beating yesterday. But again, it's just a bump in the road. You know, I think it is.
And at the end of the day, it's a division game. So, I mean, you kind of expect the unexpected to know sometimes.
That is correct. Well, Terrence, if you got anything else, man, you want to leave us with?
Man, that's it.
Okay, man. We've been out here for a long time. Damn near 2 hours, man. But ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everyone that's listening and tuning in, that stuck with us throughout it. We had a lot to talk about. And I think that Derrick Henry, that's something that we will always remember.
And we'll be talking about Derrick Henry again.
We'll remember LeVar saying this if, you know, however his career ends up, or, you know, this season, if he gets that record, if he breaks that record. It would be very, very phenomenal to do that in this time of age, in this league. It would be phenomenal. It would be. But I'm sure Eric Dickerson doesn't agree with me. All right. Well, that's pretty much all we got. Terrence, good show again, man.
Always.
LeVar, we thank you for joining us, man, here on The Great Debate Show.
Appreciate you having me.
The Great Debate Show can be downloaded and subscribed, and it's available wherever you get your podcast. We thank you all for listening. Pod being live. We did it for the whole 2 hours. And, again, subscribe, download. It's The Great Debate Show. Terrence Smith, Jarvis Jeffries, we're out, man. We will be back later this week. Plenty more to talk about. Mike Tyson and Logan Paul, they've already confirmed their fight coming up February of 2022. So still got some time to talk about it, but it's official. Logan Paul is making history. And I know, Terrence, you may want to talk about that because this dude can say, as an amateur, or whatever you want to call his ass, hey, man, I fought Floyd Mayweather and Mike fucking Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
This is the great white hope.
He's living a dream.
He's living a dream.
You know, I'll save that for another day.
I hear you, man. I got you. All right, we will bring that back another time, another day. I think we're going to get Strick in here to talk about Patrick Mahomes because I like where he was going with that, and I kind of want to lean toward what he was saying on that. And we got to come back to that if Patrick Mahomes don't get his act together. This has been the Great Debate Show. Again, LeVar, we thank you for joining us. King Henry. Tighten up. We'll see how it goes. San Francisco.
Man, the only thing tightened up is my back right now.
I hear you, man. Hey, man, enjoy Raw. I know that's what you got it on already. Enjoy Raw.
Bobby Lashley.
Or the Monday night game, whichever one. Saints and Seahawks. We didn't talk about it.
It's going to be a good game.
I didn't think it was much to talk about.
Penny's playing again tonight. He's starting.
Who?
Penny Carson.
No, he's not.
Yeah. He's activated.
Chris Carson?
Yeah, Chris Carson. Chris or Penny?
Carson is out.
Okay, Penny then.
Rashard Penny. Yeah. He's back. Okay. Still ain't got Russell Wilson, though.
No, that they don't.
But I won't be surprised if Seattle pulls this out, though.
I won't be surprised, man. I love Pete Carroll, man.
Jameis is always due for a good fuck-up on the road or something on prime time. They do this all the time.
Pete Carroll deserves a trophy himself. The man is 70-something years old, and the man is very hyped on that sideline. Yeah. Like,
all he deserves is some pom-poms and a cheer at the house.
Who don't love Pete Carroll, man? I mean, the man can coach, man.
Terrence said it's called Viagra.
It's called Viagra.
right.
We get old enough, we'll need this shit, too.
right. Oh, man. Y'all are crazy, man. We out of here. Thank you for listening, everybody. It's been another great one at the Great Debate Show. Again, we're available wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back for another one. Peace.
Peace.